It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Masks on, New York. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Governor Hochul announcing today a statewide mask mandate for all indoor gatherings. It takes effect Monday. The only exception to the rule will be businesses that have in place a vaccine mandate.
We're entering a time of uncertainty, and we can either plateau here, where our cases could escalate beyond control.
COVID hospitalizations in New York up 86% the past month. Deaths from COVID up 50% the past week.
I've been watching this closely. We're heading upward in a direction that I find is no longer sustainable.
And it's not just New York. Correspondent Nikki Batiste has more from hard-hit Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
This hospital is so full, COVID patients have been packed in the ER waiting room for up to 20 hours. As cases rise in the Northeast, several National Guard troops are being deployed to Maine, New York, and New Hampshire.
One of Pennsylvania's largest hospitals, Geisinger Health, has run out of beds because of the surge in COVID.
We're starting oxygen on COVID patients in the hallway, and those hallway beds are often double and triple bunked.
I'm tired of it. Us nurses, we are tired.
The fact that we're seeing so many new cases does not bode well, and especially going into a holiday season that looks to be even busier than Thanksgiving.
Geisinger's nine hospitals in North Central and Northeastern PA running at 110% capacity right now.
It feels like the outside world has sort of said, well, the pandemic is behind us. And then I go to work and it's very much not.
And with the emergence of Omicron, pandemic point man Dr. Anthony Fauci suggests you require proof of vaccination before opening your home for the holidays.
People should, if they invite people over their home, essentially ask and maybe require that people show evidence that they are vaccinated.
Eddie Scarry with the Federalist says the scare tactics have got to stop.
I don't know who is still listening to Dr. Fauci, but if you are still listening to him and taking guidance when it comes to who you're going to see for the holidays, who you're going to let into your home, just understand that you are watching your life just pass by.
60% of the American public right now is fully vaccinated. The U.S. Supreme Court said today it will allow a Texas abortion law to stay in place as lawsuits challenge it. And there are several in that state.
We're grateful that the Supreme Court practiced judicial restraint and stopped the Biden administration's pro-abortion campaign against the strongest pro-life law being enforced today.
Kim Schwartz with Texas Right to Life. The law in question bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy.
We're going to celebrate that the Texas Heartbeat Act continues to save between 75 to 100 preborn children per day from abortion.
The Texas law bans abortions after a heartbeat is detected. It also allows anyone in Texas to sue a doctor if they suspect that law is being broken. Investors bracing for fallout today after new inflation numbers went public. The Consumer Price Index shows inflation in America at a 40-year high.
Year over year, inflation is up 6.8%. That is the highest level since June of 1982.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger, correspondent Ed O'Keefe has more from the White House, which until recently called inflation temporary.
This now has a real potential to be a political drag on this White House as it tries to get the country and the world back in a post-pandemic mentality, and could continue to be a real problem for them, not only again in polling, but also potentially in getting his big legislative agenda passed.
Today's troubling numbers could cause interest rates to go up next year in an attempt to pump the brakes on soaring prices. Funeral service for Bob Dole happening right now in the nation's capital. The Reverend Randy Hollereth is dean of the Washington National Cathedral.
Though Senator Dole has gone from us, he is not lost. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead will raise Bob Dole as well. This then isn't goodbye, because in God's story, death never has the last word.
The 98-year-old Dole, a decorated World War II vet, will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Bob Dole served as Senate Majority Leader for over a decade and was the GOP presidential candidate in 1996. There's been a massive loss of life in southern Mexico. Over 50 people killed, dozens more injured after a cargo truck filled with Guatemalans tipped over and crashed. Correspondent Adrian Barr.
Mexican officials say there were more than 100 people packed in the truck that overturned. Most are believed to be migrants who were being smuggled from Central America. With dozens more reported injured, this could become one of the deadliest accidents involving migrants.
Officials say the sheer weight of the load combined with speed and a curve in the road is what caused that crash. The nation's leading retailers demanding action as the crime crisis worsens in America.
A group of 20 retail leaders, including the CEOs of Target, CVS, Best Buy, and others, wrote a letter to Congress asking for help. And other crimes are ticking up as well. A dozen major U.S. cities are breaking homicide records this year.
Correspondent Doug Leigh Zader. Empire actor Jussie Smollett convicted last night in Chicago for staging a homophobic hate crime and then lying about it to police. Media critic Joe Concha explains why you should care about this case.
This is why this hoax is important. 2021 will go down as one of the deadliest years in Chicago history. So police and investigators have more than enough on their plate, yet here's Jussie Smollett claiming two men yelled, "This is MAGA country" in Chicago. And many in media and politics actually pushed this tall tale because they wanted to believe it.
Smollett faces up to 3 years behind bars. Most think he'll only get probation. Legal analyst Jonathan Turley.
I'm from Chicago, and this case tore the city apart. He was race baiting. He used our long and painful divisions over race. Vice President Harris came out and called this an attempted lynching, and Speaker Pelosi and others. They rushed to fulfill this narrative despite the facts.
Smollett's next court date late January, at which time he'll learn his fate. The actor is planning to appeal the verdict. He won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos back in 2016.
Thomas goes up, makes the catch, keeps his balance, backpedals into the end zone.
Former wide receiver Demaryius Thomas dead at the age of 33. KOA Radio's Benjamin Albright.
It was due to some medical complications due to the car accident that he'd had a while back, and unfortunately he has passed.
DT was drafted by Denver in the first round of the 2010 NFL draft. Indy 500 winner Al Unser has died. Unser, a member of one of the most famous racing families in history, had been battling cancer for 17 years. Big Al, as he was known, one of only four drivers to win the Indy 500 a record four times. He was 82. Still to come on the Noon Report, masks on New York, Tish James' big announcement, and gerrymandering Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're looking at a turbulent weekend ahead, which will include some high winds. I'll be back with forecast details coming up shortly. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All right, see you then, Kevin. Thank you. We do have a high wind warning taking effect tomorrow. Downwind of the Great Lakes, Chautauqua, Erie, Niagara, Orleans, Monroe, Genesee, and Wyoming counties. You are all under the gun for about 10 hours tomorrow. Starting at 1 p.m., winds could gust to more than 60 miles per hour near the Great Lakes. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announcing today an indoor mask mandate statewide takes effect Monday. The only businesses exempt are those that require proof of vaccination.
I don't want to go back ever again to that place where people couldn't go to their jobs safely, couldn't congregate, kids couldn't go to schools. That isolation had a devastating effect on the human condition, and we're still dealing with the fallout today.
Governor Hochul says the state will reevaluate the indoor mask mandate on January 15th. Again, it takes effect Monday. A Western New York manufacturer is applauding recent court action to strike down the Biden administration's vaccine mandate.
Any forced medical procedure should never be mandated by the government. They're not involved in our health care decisions. That's between us and our doctor.
That's Max Scheiber at Moog in Elma, which makes hydraulic control systems used by the military and hospitals.
I'm hoping the courts do their job and recognize the overreach of the federal government and put them in their place, because this is going to set a precedent for a future generation.
The Biden administration appealing that court decision this week that blocks the vax rule for federal contractors. Attorney General Tish James' decision to bow out of the New York governor's race has caught the attention of of one local political pundit.
She's a sure winner as attorney general next election, but not for governor. So, and at the end of the day, that's politics. Can you win or will you lose?
Dr. Steve Coleman tells Family Life News that James saw the writing on the wall, and her dropping out bodes well for Kathy Hochul.
People like Kathy Hochul. They like her, you know, and I think that's a very important thing in politics. And that's why I think that Tish James said, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to challenge Kathy Hochul because she's a winner right now. She's way ahead in the polls, and people like her.
The attorney general is actively investigating former President Trump. Her bombshell probe into former Governor Cuomo is what ultimately led to his resignation back in August. Pennsylvania Democrats are fighting one of their own as they battle Republicans over the Commonwealth's new-look congressional map. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has that story.
Philadelphia Democratic State Senator Sharif Street is working with a Senate Republican on a plan to boost his prospective congressional campaign. They've cobbled together a congressional map that creates an incumbent-free district in Philly. Democrats in Harrisburg fear the new look will help Republicans take control of Congress in next year's midterms. A spokesman for Congressman Brendan Boyle, the incumbent Philadelphia Democrat whose re-election bid would be complicated by the map, accuses Street of, quote, conspiring with Republicans to push a gerrymandered Republican map for personal political gain. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. Law enforcement officers, prosecutors, and anti-crime activists are all urging state lawmakers to revisit New York's controversial bail reform laws. That story new at noon from Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, and in the meantime, Democratic lawmakers and advocates are pushing more measures they say would make the justice system more equitable for people of color and immigrants. Police and prosecutors want judges to have greater latitude to keep a defendant in custody if they're dangerous, and they've blamed the bail laws on a sharp rise in violent crime. Still, some Democrats in the state legislature are pushing more proposals to reduce the number of people incarcerated and expunge criminal records of more than 2 million people. It's definitely going to be a hot-button issue in the next legislative year, as all state offices are up for election. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you. A new law in New York allows 18-year-olds to drive tractor trailers. It's to combat the shortage of truck drivers that's led to a bottleneck in the nation's supply chain. Ken Johnson runs a truck driving company in Canandaigua and helped draft this law.
The more trucks that we can put on the road, the more product we can get to the store shelves and to the consumers' homes, and, you know, and that benefits everybody.
But critics like Russ Swift of the Truck Safety Coalition thinks teenagers are just too young to operate big rigs.
Teen drivers are not as safe as older drivers. Too immature, not enough life experience.
We'll see how it goes. The U.S. right now is short about 80,000 truck drivers. That is an all-time high for the transportation industry. Well, it's time for us to drive on up to the sports desk next one more time. Sonny's got your two-minute drill.
Thank you, Bob. How appropriate is it? My last Family Life two-minute drill, and I have to talk about a Steelers loss. Come on! Now, if you turned off the game last night between the Steelers and Vikings with Minnesota up 29-0, who can blame you? But that's why they play the game! Steelers fight back to make it 36-28, and with just 3 seconds left from the Vikings' 11-yard line.
Ben to the end zone, and it's dropped! By a couple of Vikings in tandem, and the Minnesota Vikings have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers on the final play of the game, 36-28, Minnesota.
Ouch, yeah, Pat Freiermuth had that ball knocked out of his hands. The Steelers lose that heartbreaker. Ben Roethlisberger on trying not to be frustrated.
Sometimes it's hard not to, and I hate that because I don't want to seem like I'm frustrated at anything in particular, but just a general frustration, I think, sometimes.
Pittsburgh falls to 6-6-1. College basketball, Purdue was number one for the first time in school history, was up 68-67 against Rutgers. 3 seconds left, Ron Harper Jr. from nearly half court.
3 seconds, no timeouts. Harper for the win!
G double O D good. Scarlet Knights shock Purdue 70-68. It's the third straight week the number one men's team has lost. Elsewhere, Pitt beat Colgate 71-68. In women's action, St. Bonaventure beat Colgate 61-58. Penn State holds off Rutgers 52-48. On the ice, Maple Leafs fall to the Lightning 5-3. The Rangers lose their second in a row, falling to Nashville 4-3. And in the NBA, the Jazz big over the 76ers 118-96. And may I just take this moment to say thank you. Thank you so much. It's been my honor to share my love for sports with you over all these years. With my last two-minute drill for Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
All right, the irreplaceable Sonny Delphiette. You will be missed, my friend. Still to come on the Noon Report, the politics of the pandemic. We're talking about it on Capital Connection. Windy weather for your weekend and a Christmas light record set in downstate New York.
If you have to make up a word to convince us, your ideas might not be as sound as you think. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. One of the features of the sexual revolution, especially in these latter days, is a steady stream of new words invented to justify increasingly incoherent ideas. For example, the word cisgender was coined by sociologists in the 90s to refer to, quote, those who continue to identify with the sex they were assigned at birth. It takes a culture committed to normalizing dysphoria and denormalizing biology to even need a word like that. More recently, but in that same spirit of social engineering through nomenclature, some activists have suggested a new take on infertility. The suggested term is social infertility. It refers to the state of those who intentionally choose sterile relationship arrangements, such as same-sex relationships, but then still want children. So if you want one, but have chosen a relationship that's unable to procreate, technology and the government should be employed to force employers, hospitals, doctors, and insurance companies to help you have one. So advocates of so-called social infertility suggest that it is unjust when two men or two women cannot conceive, and therefore the government has to step in and make things right. And of course, this leaves words like rights and discrimination and equality, not to mention men and women, mom and dad, completely up for grabs. But make no mistake, what comes under the guise of social infertility is just as nonsensical, but far worse, and for two reasons. First, for most of us, not being as fast as Usain Bolt has nothing to do with a life choice that we've made. Second, most artificial reproductive technologies today have been completely justified by nothing more than adult desires, while the rights of children are forgotten in our ethical reasoning. So increasingly, we behave and pass laws as if children are something we have a right to have, or even worse, as if they're products to secure. In this way, and in so many others, our society is revealed as being at odds with nature and itself. That inherent connection that exists between sex and procreation has been thoroughly severed by our ideas and our behavior. Abortion enables us to have sex without babies by killing the natural result of human sexuality. And so-called universal parentage acts and ideas like social infertility, they leverage artificial reproductive technologies to have babies without sex. To be clear, the invention of social infertility as a concept is just the latest fruit of this same kind of thinking. It's the inevitable result of denying moral and biological realities. And the church will not be in a place to respond unless we get our own thinking and our own decision-making in line with this reality. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. A tax break isn't the best reason to give this holiday season, but many experts predict this year's benefit will not be available next year. Either way, with or without the break, we should give generously because God has been so generous to us. And there are many incredible ministries to support that are doing good, that are filling voids, redeeming brokenness, and opposing evil. The Colson Center's work is unique because it serves Christians and churches by helping them make sense of our culture from a Christian worldview. To support the Colson Center this year, as we add more training resources and support for parents, grandparents, teachers, and pastors, by simply dialing #250. That's #250 on your phone and say the keyword Breakpoint when prompted. You'll receive a text that will direct you to our giving page to make a donation this month. Again, that's #250, #250, and say the keyword Breakpoint to support the work of the Colson Center this month.
Got some windy weather this weekend, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Clouds and some sunny breaks. Mild in the late, the high in the 40s. Dropping into the 30s tonight, then rising late with showers coming in late. Then for tomorrow, cloudy, increasingly windy and warmer with showers, maybe a rumble of thunder. High temps, mid-50s to the mid-60s. And again, we'll be subject to strong winds later in the day and at night, strongest in western New York. On Sunday, calmer, clearer, colder, turning out mostly sunny. High in the mid-30s to the mid-40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. It is Friday, the 10th day of December, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in New York and Pennsylvania with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, we'll start with you talking COVID. Are we going to have to learn to live with this virus as we do the seasonal flu? Or do you think that face masks, vaccine mandates, that's going to be the new normal going forward here 2 years into this pandemic?
Well, let's hope it's not the new normal as far as the face masks and other mitigating things that we see. However, I do think it's going to be the new normal as far as dealing with some form of COVID from season to season. I expect you'll see things like the flu, and it's something we're going to have to learn to live with as a society. The good news is we can. We just have to find the right balance between public health and personal liberty.
I know you're not a medical doctor, Jason. Quick follow-up. Some have suggested that the emergence of this Omicron variant could mean that COVID is dying off. If it replaces Delta, is that a real possibility that this could be the final nail in the coffin for this virus, hopefully?
Well, some of the early data is suggesting that it is more transmissible, but that it is indeed less deadly than some of the other variants. And if so, that could build natural immunity that could help fight off COVID all across the country and around the world.
All right, it's hard to have this conversation, Michael, without talking about face masks, and that came up again this week at the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. As we speak, that court is deciding this face mask rule in school. The education commissioner said that the face mask should not be political. But everything about this virus is political these days. How come it has become so political?
Well, I think one of the biggest reasons that it became political or started out political is that COVID kind of arrived on our shores in 2020, which was a presidential election year, a major election year. And so it became very tempting for politicians and others to go after the incumbent and say they're doing a bad job of handling this virus, and every death is blamed on incumbents at whatever level. So it started off political.
A quick follow-up for you as well, Michael. We saw another court strike down the vax rule for federal contractors. We've seen a lot of courts take action here. Ultimately, do you think that these vaccine mandates will be declared unconstitutional before too much longer?
I'm hoping so. I think that ultimately the Supreme Court is going to take it. You know, all these cases are being sort of combined into, I believe it's the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, Alliance mm-hmm. Defending Freedom, and other groups are bringing these lawsuits. So my hope is that ultimately it comes to the Supreme Court and provide some resolution, because I don't think, at the very least, that this is a role of the federal government.
Yeah. Erie County, New York has one of the highest COVID rates right now anywhere in the state, Jason. And kind of interesting, this week, all week long, there have been several what they're calling acts of civil disobedience here to protest, whether it's the vaccine mandate or the mask in school. Do you think it's a good idea to be doing that with the COVID case count so high?
Well, you know, I probably take a position that's going to make people angry on either side, but I honestly hesitate a little bit at the term civil disobedience. I want to remind people that just because a politician says something does not make it law. And so just because a county executive or a governor or a legislator makes a bully pulpit statement, it doesn't mean that it's constitutional. So in those instances, there are towns that are standing up to where they feel this is an unconstitutional act, and their closest adherence to the law is to obey that of the Constitution and lean towards liberty. That being said, I want to be a person filled with grace. And so there are occasions in which, to protect my neighbor, I'll wear that mask or I'll do things, but I prefer to do it as an option rather than a mandate.
Yeah. Let's switch gears a little bit, Michael. Of course, this transgender swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania continues to make waves, no pun intended. I believe there was a race recently where this athlete, the second place finisher, finished 38 seconds behind this transgender athlete in swimming. That is unbelievable. Breaking all sorts of records. Stories like this are why you've been lobbying so hard for the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. What would it do, and what's holding this up?
Well, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act would just keep sports the way they should have been and have been for decades, especially with Title IX. And the opportunity for female athletes to compete. The bill here in Pennsylvania would say that you can have co-ed sports if a school decides to do that, but otherwise they need to be separated by the sexes. So it's male or female for colleges and secondary schools, junior high and high school. That's important, and we see with this University of Pennsylvania swimmer, there's no question that there's an advantage for males, and if this is allowed to continue, that's really the end of girls' sports.
I can't understand why groups like NOW, NARAL, others, women's rights, empower women groups, aren't coming out more in support of the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Why not?
Well, I think they're just political groups that pick and choose their issues. They're not principled-based. They're based on sort of what they think the current trends are and where they want to see their people elected. And so I think they're being silent against what you would think would be their principles. And this is why parents and people of common sense need to engage to get things like the Fairness in Girls Sports passed here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. The crime crisis has been such a big story this year, Jason, and coupled with that is the drug problem. You can't have one without the other, it seems. New York City raising a lot of eyebrows. It became the first city in the country to open supervised injection sites for drug addicts. How, in your opinion, will this worsen the addiction epidemic?
Yeah, it's a highly debated topic right now in New York City and really in many places across the state. But the bottom line is it doesn't make an activity safe by sanctioning it. Using these types of opioids and other drugs is just terribly damaging to the individuals that are. And by bringing them to a location that you can empower that habit, it's not going to help beat them and move them to addiction. We're very concerned, rather, by the tacit endorsement of the activity that it gives. It's just not a good position for the state to take.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, but I know that's real controversial. Michael, you know, we talked about the abortion debate a lot last week. If the Supreme Court lets go of Roe, will there be a concerted push in Pennsylvania for do-it-yourself abortions? I know you've talked about your concerns on this front before. What safeguards are pro-lifers putting in place to curtail those efforts?
Well, these do-it-yourself abortions are done, you know, telemed or abortion pills, abortion chemicals being distributed by groups like Planned Parenthood, and they're doing it now in Pennsylvania. We've been trying to fight it, trying to work with the FDA nationally and other groups to try to get them to point out the dangers and to not approve it. It is a big challenge going forward, and, you know, when we were at the Supreme Court last week, we saw pro-abortion groups. There were women standing in front of a banner and taking this abortion chemical to kill the unborn babies inside them. It's a travesty and a tragedy, and one that pro-lifers really need to work to address among many issues that will be coming ahead of us.
Yeah, you said last week you could see as many as six justices supporting the Mississippi law. You still stand behind that?
Well, I think so, especially upholding the Mississippi law, and then maybe even going further. We may have five that say, let's overturn Roe versus Wade and Casey altogether.
Wow, we'll see how it goes again. Expect a decision on that next year. Jason, we mentioned those supervised injection sites in New York City. Time's running out for all communities across New York to opt out of recreational marijuana. They have till the end of the year to do this. Why is that law set up so if they don't opt out, they're automatically opted in? And do you think cannabis commercialization will backfire in New York?
Yeah, it's troubling in that legislation. It really does permit only the one-way option. That's why we're recommending that localities opt out, at least for now, until they know what regulations are going to come from the state. If they don't opt out by December 31st, it's too late. Now, a municipality can opt in later. I don't recommend it, but they can. But they can only opt out by the end of the year. It's troubling how it was set up, and yet here it is. We're going to have weed all across the state.
Yeah. And then, Michael, finally, a little political action to send us on our way today. So many Republicans gunning for Governor Wolf's job next year. Does that that strengthen the big pool here? Does that strengthen or weaken the GOP's chances to win back the executive mansion?
Well, it's hard to say definitively at this point. It depends on really sort of who rises to the top. Oftentimes, though, when you have such a crowded primary, you know, in Pennsylvania, you don't need a clear majority to actually be the winner. You can just be the top vote getter, yeah, whether it's even just a small percentage. And that doesn't set you up necessarily to be in a strong position to go against the Democrat candidate.
All right. We'll see what it goes. We think we know who that Democrat candidate is. There's a lot of Republicans out there, and that field will whittle down early next year. Hey, we are out of time this week, but so many issues in the news. Stay informed. You got a great New Look website, Michael. Where can folks find you?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, Jason McGuire?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
All right, guys, thank you. Capital Connection comes your way Fridays during the noon report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got a strong storm system that will be passing to our north tomorrow. It will have multiple impacts in our region, including drawing warmer air into the region, near record warmth for some, producing hefty showers and even a few rumbles of thunder, but most notably generating high winds, and highest winds will be across western New York Saturday afternoon and night, when gusts could reach, if not exceed, 60 miles an hour. In the meantime, and in the short term for this afternoon, clouds and some sunny breaks, mild in it of late, the high in the 40s, dropping into the 30s tonight, then rising late with showers coming in late. Then for tomorrow, cloudy, increasingly windy and warmer with showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, high temps mid-50s to the mid-60s, and again, we'll be subject to strong winds later in the day and at night, strongest in western New York. On Sunday, calmer, clearer, colder, turning out mostly sunny, high in the mid-30s to the mid-40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Finally, noon, if you got to be famous, you might as well be famous for this. A Hudson Valley, New York family has just broken its own world record for Christmas lights. The Gay family in LaGrangeville, Dutchess County, making it into the Guinness Records again for most lights on a residential property. They first set the record back in 2014, then smashed it again this year by stringing up an unprecedented 686,000 outdoor Christmas lights.
Everybody come out, we're coming to lights!
Yeah, look at those lights. The colorful display synchronized to holiday music and includes illuminated reindeer, Christmas trees, and sparkling stars and icicles. Exterior illumination at its finest in LaGrangeville, New York. And that's the world we live in. Friday, the 10th of December. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.